Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Wednesday, everybody. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell, and I feel bad for you over here because, I mean, you're already having a rough COVID outside of here, and then Now we have to start the day with possibly the most depressing thing I can bring up for you.
Yeah.
Your Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah.
I don't understand this. I can't be okay with this. Like, you're sitting in the driver's seat for that wild card spot. You control your own destiny.
Yep.
All you have to do is beat the team that is gunning for that spot, and you can basically ride this thing out.
Yep.
And what do? Not put up a goal for the first 59 minutes and 59.9 seconds of the game.
It was very frustrating. To watch that first period, that was a first period that they've needed to do all season long.
Yeah.
I think they got like 16 shots in the first period. They were passing well. They were skating well. They were getting their chances. I was like, it's only a matter of time before they find the back of the net. It's only a matter of time. I can't remember the name of this goaltender in there because everybody else is, I guess, injured. Or I can't remember. All I know is this guy's got a fantastic 1970s mustache, Lindgren or something like that.
Yeah.
And he was making some fantastic saves. Alex Lyon was making fantastic saves. It's just too bad that Alexander Ovechkin was like, oh, wait a minute. I just took a look at my driver's license, and this whole season I thought I was somebody else, but I looked at my license. I'm Alexander F. Ovechkin.
Yeah, it really took him a good chunk of this season to remember, like, how to score goals and things. And now now it's like, he might just break Gretzky's record this season.
Right. 30 goals this season already. I mean, before January, he had 8.
Right. 30 goals this season, and 20 of them came in the last week.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there.
I mean, Dylan Strome opening up the scoring. I'm like, oh, okay, they can get that back.
Dylan Strome's just been, he's been basically the whole engine driving that team this season. Like, when Ovechkin wasn't really doing a whole lot, Strome's basically been the guy.
Yeah, he's done what you've asked him. So the Capitals have got to be happy with him. His 27th of the season. Martin,
second behind Ovechkin on the team, and puts him 65 points, which leads the Caps.
Not too shabby. He also got an assist from TJ Oshie on Ovechkin's goal. And then,
I always forget he exists.
2 seconds left to go in the game. Patrick Kane finally finds the back of the net for his 20th of the season. David Perron and Lucas Raymond with the assist. But, I mean,
wasn't sure they were going to let that one stand, and much less give him additional time to,
I mean,
to get another shot off afterwards.
I mean, a lot of people wanted to say, oh, this is terrible. They played, they were horrible. This is so disgusting. Let's look at the stats. 43 shots on goal. They were winning in the faceoff circle. 26 out of 50. So you only gave up 2 penalty minutes. You're tied with hits at 21 apiece. They were doing well. They just, puck luck. I know that's a cheap cop out, but that's what I'm going to say is puck luck. But it does shoot you in the foot.
It absolutely does. Like, because if there was a game you couldn't afford to lose this last 5 games of the season, if there was an absolute, like, you need this win to extend your season, like, this was it, and you weren't able to do it. You put the puck on net a lot, and, was it, Mick always says good things happen when you put the puck on that, but still, like, it's kind of hard to sit back here and be okay with it coming out on the losing side of what was a critical game for this team.
It was very critical. I mean, this was a team that was nipping at your heels. If you win this one, then it gives you a lot more breathing room with that last 4 games, but it didn't happen. And now
now you got to beat Toronto basically to have a shot here.
Oh God! And who knows? Maybe Toronto's going to be kind of in coasting mode because they've clinched. They're not going anywhere. Well, they might be able to leapfrog Florida, but that just means they're going to be playing Florida with home ice advantage. So I guess whatever.
Right. So where you're sitting right now, because the Islanders and Flyers. Islanders won, Flyers lost. So currently, you're sitting 1 point behind Washington and tied with Pittsburgh for the lead in for that last wild card spot. Yep. And you want to talk about another critical game? You get to play Pittsburgh on Thursday.
They have to win this. I mean,
you cannot afford to lose that game, and now you can't afford to lose either of the Montreal games.
No.
Like, you need every single point you can get from this point forward.
They have to win out. I mean, there's no way around it. Because, I mean, Washington, you think they're going to pump the brakes? No. This is not the Washington team that you were able to hang 8 goals on them. That team is not.
It's not the Washington team that just lost like 20 in a row.
Right. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, bring that up. I think Washington, as hungry as they are, they're going to be able to go into Boston on Monday. Or Boston's coming to D.C. Boston's in coasting mode. Tampa Bay, they've got a little bit of fight in them. Philly, I guess, maybe, if they can figure out their goaltending situation. That is a team. After Carter Hart, everything else, that team just seemed to the nuts and bolts came out of that team real quick.
They really did. Like, it seems like they went through, like, 10 goalies over the span of, like, 2 seasons. And the same old Ersan, his goals against ERA, Jesus, can you tell him in baseball mode already?
Yeah, right.
Was like pushing 3. He's like 296, 886 save percentage, which is not good. Carter Hart's still there, but he's not the Carter Hart of old at this point, which is bad because
he's in legal issues. He's in one of the
people. Oh, that's right.
He's got a...
That's right. He has that charge standing out against him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so... Yeah, there's nobody else. None of their other backups, I think, would make most AHL teams at this point. Yeah, they're kind of screwed. And Torts can kick all the trash cans he wants, and I don't think it's going to get anything better out of that core than what you're getting, unfortunately, for them.
No. Now, just for a second, let's look at the West. I mean, Dallas, what happened there? I mean, all of a sudden, I didn't realize. They were just snuck in the back door, and they became the best in the West. 109 points. For Dallas, and then you got Vegas on the second wild card spot, and they're not going anywhere because the last one after them is St. Louis with 87. Vegas is making it in. Which, by the way, Friday we have Bob Lawson coming into town talking about his. I better get the title right. Vegas Strong.
Vegas Hockey. Vegas Strong.
Yeah, he's going to be talking about that book. He's been doing the media circuit.
And now we finally have made time in our busy schedule yeah. to allow him to come on our show.
Yeah. In the meantime, I was like, "Oh, I guess I'll go do Channel 2. I guess I'll do some international podcasts." Now I get to go to Solid State Radio because that's what he's been waiting for. Hey, we're in the acknowledgments, so you know.
Yeah, we did make the book, so yes. We got that going for us.
I've been sampling through it a little bit. Some interesting stuff in there. But, yeah, the Wings, back to them. Maybe we'll get Bob's thought on them because, you know, he's been friends with a lot of Wings, former Red Wings.
I feel like I have a pretty good idea of what his thoughts are going to be on a lot of it.
Yeah. He's going to say physicality.
That was it. He likes to call Eddie Shore hockey.
Yep.
I know that. That's exactly where that's headed. He's not wrong about it at all. So
nope.
Thursday night, Penguins, you absolutely need this win and probably all the other ones from here on out. You are no longer in the driver's seat, and this just watching what has been a rather just stunning collapse from where this team was sitting in early February.
Early February, there's nobody that could have stopped them. They were running so hot, but then I guess the flu has been going around that locker room. There's been some injuries. Like Alex DeBrincat, he was not skating like he normally did. He was a lot of longer strides. I think he's got a lower body injury that's nagging him.
I hope you're wrong, man.
I know Seider was supposed to be out, might have been out of the lineup due to flu like symptoms, but he was in there. I mean, you're scraping the bottom. Not going to say scraping the bottom of the barrel, but I mean you're running out of options when it comes to blue liners. So, I mean. I don't know. Even like I've said it before, even if the Wings, for whatever, miraculously make the playoffs, it doesn't bode well for them. I think they would take on the New York Rangers.
Oh God!
Good luck with that.
Yeah, how you like your odds there? I know I don't.
Nope.
So there is plenty more to get to today. In fact, I have something I think will raise your spirits a little bit here in the next segment.
I hope so.
It is Happy Hour, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. So I know you're kind of depressed right now, what with the Red Wings just being a dumpster fire and everything else. But, you know, Adam, I think I have some news that'll really brighten your day.
All righty.
And unlike normally when I say this and it ends up being something severely depressing, I'm actually being serious about this.
Okay, bring it on.
The Arizona Coyotes might finally be moving out of Arizona next season.
Now, I'm hoping you're right, but weren't they made to sign some contract with the NHL that they wouldn't move for 30 years?
Well, apparently contracts are made to be broken. Per Emily Kaplan and Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, the NHL is preparing a contingency that could relocate the Arizona Coyotes to Utah as soon as next season, sources told ESPN.
Wow. Okay, Utah has been wanting a team, and now all of a sudden... Now, this makes sense.
Yeah, no, Utah, I could see... Salt Lake City could probably support an NHL franchise. They've supported basketball for... surprisingly, quite honestly, longer than I thought that Utah would ever support a basketball franchise.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, I would assume, not seeing any numbers, I would assume that Utah probably supports the Jazz more than Phoenix area supports the Suns.
Even though the NHL remains convinced that a franchise should be in Arizona, the league is skeptical about the Coyotes' new plan to build an arena in Phoenix, which involved Coyotes owner Alex Marullo's bid to win a land auction in June. The NHL has prepared a backup option that would sell the team to Ryan and Ashley Smith, owners of the NBA's Utah Jazz, and a relocation move to Salt Lake City, multiple sources said. Their shadow plan includes the NHL preparing two schedules for next season, one involving the Coyotes in Arizona and another for the team in Utah, per the Daily Faceoff, Frank Saravalli's website. An announcement on relocation could come as soon as this month, sources told ESPN.
Wow, okay.
Though it is common practice for the NHL to come up with contingencies in a situation that has this much uncertainty, it's not a done deal, multiple NHL sources cautioned. It's a fluid situation. Relocation would need to be approved by the NHL's Board of Governors, which is next scheduled to meet in June. The board could also convene a meeting anytime before that over Zoom. The Coyotes told ESPN they have no comment on reports the team could relocate to Salt Lake City starting next season. The NHL also had no comment.
Why do I think they asked for the Coyotes? I just think Wile E. Coyote from Looney Tunes just holding up a sign that says no comment.
Well,
right before Boulder lands on him.
Quite frankly, at this point, Alex Marullo might as well be that.
I mean, this makes sense. Move the team over there. Because Arizona, they don't want the team. I mean, they have a small little nucleus of fans. But other than that, it's been a failure. And it's too bad because... the Arizona/Phoenix Coyotes franchise has had a lot of good moments, has had a lot of great players. Quite frankly, has one of the best-looking sweaters, in my ever humble opinion. This team deserves to be in an area that will appreciate them. They're being treated like they're treated terribly in the Arizona state.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad, really, the fact that they've never been able to get that support. And it doesn't help that you've basically had garbage ownership pretty much from the jump with them. I mean, I think the only person who was... There's maybe one owner that knew their ass from a hole in the ground the entire time they've been in Phoenix.
Yep.
And you basically have had, from there, a bunch of guys with no real experience when it comes to hockey and how to make these sort of things work. I mean, the last guy you bought, he's basically... Well, the last guy's a media guy, Marullo. Like, you think he would have been able to figure things out and get a little bit more marketing promotion and things like that in there, but, you know, he hasn't just apparently been able to figure that out.
Right. But, I mean, this is the same team that has had Shane Doan, Keith Tkachuk, Radim Vibrata.
The problem is they only have
Jovanovski, Dallas Drake, Nikolai Hobby-Bolin, Jeremy Roenick. They need to be somewhere where they're appreciated.
The problem is they only have one or two good players at a time in any given year.
Well, you're not going to get any free agents. Free agents go in there and say, oh, I'm going to play for 5,000 people. I haven't done that since, you know, high school or, you know, OHL.
Probably even longer than that.
So it's like, I don't want to play in Arizona. The ownership is terrible. I'm not going to get a chance to win. I'm probably not going to get a whole lot of money. I'm not going to be able to play for people. Why would I go there? Because it's a dry heat? I got your dry heat right here. So move them to Utah, a new area, Salt Lake City. They have embraced hockey before in the past. It's exciting. You're going to see a little bit of resurgence of free agents. I wonder if they would, how that would affect the draft. It would be considered an expansion draft, or probably not if they moved the team.
No, it wouldn't affect it at all because, like, the franchise already franchise exists. Isn't dispersing or anything.
No, okay. So, I mean, they got to be down there in the standings to where, oh, watch if it moves to Utah, all of a sudden the lottery. Oh, look at that. The Utah Coyotes get the first
number one pick.
Oh, wow. That was, what? That's such a quinky dink.
Right? A league source told ESPN a Coyotes relocation could involve two separate transactions. The NHL would purchase the Coyotes from Marullo in a deal believed to be worth around $1 billion, and then sell the Coyotes to Ryan and Ashley Smith at a price that could be as high as $1.3 billion, higher than the expansion fee that the Kraken's owners paid in 2021 to join the league.
$1.3 billion for the Coyotes. Wow.
Yeah. The 31 other owners of the NHL would split $300 million as part of the sale.
Ah.
So basically, the NHL has a deep-pocketed owner that desperately wants the team, and they want to have part of the family, a well-plugged-in NHL source told ESPN. Now, as part of the deal, unfortunately, Marullo would be first in line to purchase an NHL expansion team should the league decide to return to Arizona.
Should they decide to? I mean, show me, Marullo, why this would work, why it didn't work before, or tell me what is not differently. And don't tell me Atlanta.
Oh, it'll totally work a third time. We'll put them in a 5,000-seat arena because that worked last time. Like, it's not like we have a whole lot of expenses to cover because, you know, we're basically a poverty franchise that doesn't spend, like, you know, I think one player on the Leafs makes as much as the entire roster of Arizona.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work, Marullo will just cut some people on the radio side. It'll be okay.
There you go. You know?
All I'm saying is if I'm a midday DJ at any of their stations, I'd watch my back. That's all I'm saying.
Sean, how is it? Dry heat my ass. How are you liking Arizona? I'm moving back.
Right? I couldn't. There's no way.
Oh, yeah. Especially with the politics over in Arizona. You would stick out like a sore thumb.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's, I guess, that too.
So, all right. Now, I can't imagine any of the 31 other owners having a beef with this. They're going to get a slice of that pie, and their team doesn't have to play in a YMCA barn. I mean,
right. I don't think anyone's going to really be complaining about this. Like, you get a team that actually has a real arena, although it sounds like the Delta Center would need some renovations to be a permanent NHL home, they're saying, and they've made that very clear to Ryan Smith, much like the Kraken renovated whatever it is they're currently calling Key Arena.
Key Arena, yeah.
Like, I don't remember what they sold the rights to. I think it's like Amazon Stadium now or some such thing.
Oh, no, wasn't some water purification or climate something?
Something, yeah.
Yeah,
Lemon Pledge, something, I don't
know. Lemon Pledge. Welcome to Windex Arena. The cleanest glass in the NHL.
Right. So it very much sounds like this, if not entirely a done deal, it would appear that this is going to be, this is likely to happen very soon.
You know what? I welcome it. I think it's a great idea. I mean, I still hope they talk about expansion to places like Houston, but I mean, this would definitely fix the situation for the time being.
Like, no team has ever, like, no ownership group has ever seemingly not had financial issues the entire time they've been in Arizona, and I don't see how this would be any different. Like, the last owner, or maybe it was an owner 2 owners ago, when the NHL had to step in and take over the team, like, filed for bankruptcy because it was running just so terribly. The original owners didn't even want to move it there. They wanted to move the thing to Minnesota to replace the North Stars.
Yep.
No, you didn't want to be in Phoenix from the jump, and Phoenix doesn't want you.
Yeah, this should be so simple. Once the NHL had to take things over, that should have been full stop. It's not working. This is a failed experiment. The only person that seems to really enjoy this, for whatever reason, is Uncle Gary Bettman.
I think he just likes having just the some sort of joke to. Running joke to laugh at here. Like, that's the only explanation at this point.
The
problem is the joke's on him.
Well, I seriously think that he needs to have a team like the Arizona/Phoenix Coyotes in there to adjust the salary cap floor, to bring down that average a little bit.
Ooh, there's an interesting conspiracy theory. I never thought about that.
Well, we've talked about that.
We Adam, you know I don't listen when you talk. Are you new here?
Yeah, two creams, two sugars. Thanks. But yeah, I mean, you have to have, I mean, you have teams that are just making money hand over fist. Vegas, Toronto always does well. I mean, one of the big finance, the Rangers.
So you basically need some patsy there just to like lose money or at least not actively make money just so you can keep the cost down?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would explain a lot about Major League Baseball then.
Yeah.
It's all coming together now here, Huck.
It makes sense. This segment being brought to you by Reynolds Tinfoil. Aluminum foil, excuse me.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense, I have to say.
But would Utah keep the Coyotes' name? That's, I mean, I guess we'd have to wait and see, but...
Well, I mean, they kept the Jazz name, and Lord knows, there's nothing that strikes me as being more Utah than Jazz.
This is true. I can't argue with that. But, I mean, there actually might be Coyotes in Utah, so this actually works.
It could work. Because, I mean, I don't want to see him get rid of those jerseys. Those jerseys look really cool.
Those are great jerseys. I own one of those. I thought about someday getting one of the newer ones. Like, nah.
Yeah, no, they're not nearly as cool. Like, nope. Those old Kachina-style jerseys are like they're like some of the nicest sweaters the NHL's ever put out.
I agree. It was a nice little sidestep from the teal. The San Jose Shark teal is pretty sharp. In the 90s, everything was teal, wasn't it?
I know.
You like, don't remember the 90s.
The Pistons even had their teal phase that we all try and forget happened.
They did. The Spurs did.
The Charlotte Hornets.
Hornets.
Whatever teams there might still honestly have. I don't know. It also just seemed like everyone had that Charlotte, like you can picture that Charlotte Hornets teal jacket, that starter jacket.
Everybody had the starter jackets.
Every single, like everyone seemingly had one of those. It was always that, like, why Charlotte? They suck.
I don't know because, yeah, I remember Mike Schering having a Tampa Bay Lightning starter jacket in 1994.
God, it wasn't teal as well, was it?
Might be a little teal in there. I don't.
Only San Jose should ever be allowed to rock teal, and quite frankly, I associate the color teal with choke artists.
It does make me choke a little.
If you thought for a second we were going to get out of that without making a joke at the expense of the Sharks, you don't know me very well.
Right.
It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. So we're just a couple weeks away from the NFL draft. No, don't worry, Adam. I'm not going to make us sit here and break down college football players and whatnot.
I am interested in what the Lions are going to do, and I want to know where these Wolverines are going to go. But anyway.
Now, I don't think you're getting Corum. If you manage to have Mike Sammer still fall to you, I would love that. Like, that would be fantastic. Yeah. But I want no part of... a lot of those other guys. I don't think I necessarily would want Blake Corum here, to be honest with you.
I like Corum. J.J. McCarthy, meh.
I'm not sure. I just don't know how I really see him doing in the NHL.
Probably slippery on the ice.
Yeah. In the NFL, he's projected to go pretty low down there. But with all that being said, the city of Detroit's trying to spruce things up a little bit to, you know, make this wonderful city that I call home a little more welcoming.
Yeah.
And apparently they went about it in an interesting way.
Yeah, I've been seeing pictures on Facebook about this.
Trying to do this like Hollywood style sign.
Every city is trying to do like these big letters just in case you don't know where you're at.
I know, Lapeer did, and I still think it's the stupidest thing the city ever did.
Yeah.
Make our damn city hall look like a, you know, like a rummage sale. What are we doing here? Like, oh, I completely forgot that I was in Lapeer. Well, good thing there was a bunch of giant, ugly-looking letters to tell me I am.
I saw the mock-up, what they wanted to do.
We spent money on this.
The mock-up for the Detroit sign looked nice.
A little cooler than what you actually got.
I mean, it was big letters, a lot like the Hollywood sign in Hollywood, California. It was big. It was boisterous. It was... but the behind the picture was great too. The whole AAI kind of skyline of Detroit, it looked grandiose. What you got was just like a third of the size of these letters, ugly, not spaced apart correctly, They're on blocks.
I don't even know what kind of ugly font it is that they use for this thing. It doesn't look good.
Just surprised they didn't use Comic Sans.
They might as well have.
Yeah, I mean, you got, or I mean, I,
or just what's the font that like is all, for like all the memes you use?
Wingdings. Oh no, okay, Impact or something like that.
Is it okay?
I think that's what it's called. But yeah, you have. I mean, then you have like you know orange barrels and which is Detroit. I mean, let's face facts here, folks.
It's the most Detroit thing that there is, yeah. Really. The
rundown buildings behind it. It just looks bad. It looks like somebody put it up, like you know. Some college art student was trying to be a Banksy or something like that. I mean, it just looks bad. It was definitely not what we were expecting from that mock-up.
Not what we were promised at all. Apparently, no. There's like five smaller ones that are going up around I-75 in different areas. That one's like alongside I-94.
Okay.
And I just, quite frankly, I just hope someone just jacks all those letters before the actual draft comes and people from outside of here have to see this ridiculousness.
Hey, thanks for coming all the way from all over the United States to Detroit. Hey, take a letter on your way out, would you please?
Please do. Like, I will just put it out there, and I'm making this claim that it is totally, completely factual, like, whether or not I have any actual knowledge of it, but those things, loaded with copper. Let me tell you, so much copper, so much metal in there you could scrap.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like, so if there's any enterprising scrappers listening to this radio show, because we know that when you're looking to find something to raid and destroy for the sweet, sweet scrap metal inside, you listen to Happy Hour.
Go to a scrap yard with the big letter D. Yeah, it was around my house. I don't use it anymore. I just want to do the responsible thing and recycle.
You know, there's people down there that just don't care that will absolutely take. Like, they're not questioning where did this car come from?
I think I recognize this guardrail.
Like, they don't care. Well, you know someone's going to take the D and just, like, hang it in their garage or something or put it somewhere for display.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there was
a... somebody making jokes about, I'm going out of the garage and see my big D. Like, you know, like you know that somebody's going to do that. But the rest of the letters, fill with copper.
Yeah.
Go take them. Take them immediately. Preferably before the 23rd.
I think if you open up, I hear, maybe a wives' tale, but if you open up the O, it's just filled with catalytic converters.
Yeah, just a they actually made the thing... With that's how they weigh it down with the catalytic converters.
I think this is a great idea. Just get in there, folks. You entrepreneurial people, just have at it because it looks bad. I mean, what's worse, the golden butthole or this Detroit sign?
I'm really not sure. I think I would have to give it to the Detroit sign even over the golden butthole.
Yeah, because I mean the Detroit sign, it just looks like. Well, we tried, but we did. We just had a weekend to put it together, and, well, here it is.
Right.
You're almost better not doing anything at all.
Really, yeah. Like, why do we feel the need to, like, we know we're in Detroit. We know what Detroit is. Why do we have to try and, like, do our, like, Dollar General version of the Hollywood sign? Why is this necessary?
Yeah. Why don't you get rid of the orange barrels? Let's do that. How about we do that? How about we...
Just make the Detroit sign out of orange barrels. Why did they do that in the first place?
You'd be able to see it better.
Yeah, you would.
Because, again, on that mock-up, it was like, you know, an off-white or a silver-looking Detroit. It looks like it was made out of sheet metal. And this
now it looks
like
it was rust green almost.
Yeah. I just don't get it. I mean, the mayor has got to be driving by going, really? Can I see the numbers again? Let me see that mock-up. I'm going to hold the mock-up against it. Yeah, this is not what we paid for.
Who actually footed the bill for this? Like, was this actual taxpayer money, like, that went to this ridiculous project? Like, I'd be mad if I were, you know, someone actually paying taxes to the city of Detroit. Like, I literally had somebody walk into my house, take my TV, and the cops are like, well, I guess you're going to buy another TV. And yet... We have money to spend on this?
Yeah.
I'd be awfully offended.
Yeah. They probably got it through donations or,
some sort of nonprofit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if quite frankly, if the state's paying for this, I'm rather like if any of my money in any way went to contribute to this, I'd be rather upset. God, I finally know what it's like. The people who like. Oh well, I won't go there.
Yeah. Pump the brakes.
Yeah, perhaps a little bit. But no, I would be absolutely offended by that. Like, there are so many better things we could do to represent our city than that.
What's the big purpose of having these big letters that tell you where they're from? I mean, yeah, Hollywood, that's an iconic sign. It used to be called Hollywood Land because realtors wanted to get people to buy houses in Hollywood. The land part fell off and they got rid of that and now it just became Hollywood. But that's it. I mean, everywhere else, you don't need these big letters that show, and every city's doing it.
Right. And like the thing about it is like, yeah, that sign's iconic and it's been around for so long, but the problem is with everyone else, it's just you're clearly trying to do the carbon copy of that.
Yeah.
And everyone's just gonna see it as sad, like the one in downtown Lapeer.
Wah, wah.
I've got no qualms in saying that. I thought it looked stupid at the time. I saw someone post, who did it worse, Detroit or Lapeer? Like, both are pretty bad. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's neck and neck. I mean, at least with Lapeer, you got a place for like tourists can take a picture in front of it. You can't take a picture in front of it because on I-94.
Yeah, no, you're not pulling over on I-94. I mean, a pothole might kind of force that issue, but...
Here we are. We're waiting for the record. They said it was going to be 3 hours. And can you guess where we're at? And the big old duck face in front of the Detroit sign.
Seems about as likely as anything. Also, you know damn well we're not getting tourists in Lapeer. That's not a thing that happens.
Everyone.
We're not a we're a lot of things, but a tourism destination, we are not.
Kids, gather around. We decided to scrape up some money. We're going to go to Lapeer.
Yay.
Hey. What was it? The gateway to what does the DDA call it? Halfway to nowhere? Or...
Yeah, that's it. Lapeer, halfway to nowhere.
I've heard the slogan so many times, it should be ingrained in my memory. Jim's probably just chomping on a
pencil
right now.
He's screaming at his radio right now, I guarantee you. Hopefully he doesn't have one of his, like a potential like business owner in with Solid State turned up in his office right now.
You know what? They're right.
They're right. We shouldn't do business.
I guess. I guess Hard Rock Cafe won't be setting up in Lapeer.
I mean, I'm fine with that. I'll
just be a bunch of Terry Knight stuff.
I say, yeah, what else do we have as far as music goes? Literally Terry Knight and nothing else? Like, nothing thus far. I mean, like, historically, I mean, not like, you know, present day.
Yeah, it would have to be just strictly Michigan. But, hey, we're bouncing around. Check us out.
That's kind of what we do on this show. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. May 11th, those guys going to be in town along with Bad Religion at the Masonic Temple in Detroit. Social Distortion at your local alternative Solid State Radio. And I am trying to finagle my way into going to that show, man. Like that's probably one of the top like five or so artists on my bucket list that I've not yet seen. And I apparently have an in and have a ticket to that show. It's just getting back from, you know, Indiana in time to make the concert. But damn it, I'm going to try. So apparently it's the apocalypse is hitting again or some such thing.
Oh, it's a different apocalypse. This was
since the one on Monday failed us, apparently.
Yeah.
Like people were supposed to get raptured and I'm still here, which I'm fine with still being here, but I was hoping that some of those, you know, the more self-righteous pious folk would get raptured, but we're still stuck with
them.
Yeah,
those people are still showing up to work. Hey, Bill, I thought you were supposed to be, shut up.
What happened to that rapture there, buddy?
Yeah. No, this time around, is cicadas.
Oh, God.
What are they calling it? Cicada-geddon.
The cicada apocalypse.
Yep. Cicadas.
Cicada apocalypse. I can't even say the goddamn word. Cicada apocalypse 2024.
Now, they're all talking about, you know, these bugs are going to come out of the ground. Didn't we just go? We're supposed to go through this like last summer or something like that?
I don't think it was last summer. I think it was a couple of years ago, but there's like different, like, I don't remember, it was like 10, 17 different broods of these things that like come up periodically. And by periodically, I mean once every 10 to 17 years.
Yep. Well, I'm reading this from the HuffPost. Trillions of evolution's bizarro wonders, red-eye periodical cicadas that have pumped their head and jet-like muscles in their rears are about to emerge in numbers not seen in decades and possibly centuries. Crawling out from the underground every 13 or 17 years with a collective sound as loud as jet engines, yeah. Periodical cicadas are nature's kings of the calendar. Black bugs with bulging eyes differ from their greener-tinged cousins that come out annually. They stay buried year after year until they surface and take over a landscape, covering houses with shed exoskeletons and making the ground crunchy.
Yeah, they're... I've only ever been through that once, and it was our eighth grade trip to Washington, D.C. Like, the D.C. area gets some really bad when this thing happens.
Yep.
And, yeah, it was just, yeah, the noise was just obnoxious, and, yeah, the ground's all crunchy. It's like, it's fall, but it's not fall. It's like spring. What the hell? Oh, God, that's cicada shells, basically. Like, it is a rather immense annoyance. Think, like...
Crickets, but louder. Well,
yeah, but, like, also just the annoyance of, like, you know, like, fish flies on the Sunrise side of the state. Like, the fish flies in Tawas, but, like,
oh,
giant
yeah.
and, like, crunchy. And with the most obnoxious noise... Well, one of the more obnoxious noises known to man. And you have cicadas, basically. It's not fun.
I don't know, 13 to 17... I've been alive that whole time, a couple times, during that...
You've been alive a couple of... How many lives are you on now, Herog?
It's been a lot, man. I've seen a lot of stuff. I've never seen cicadas. I've never heard them coming, but they're like... Apparently, trillions are coming.
Because we don't really get them here. Like I said, in D.C., yeah, okay, this would have been like 2004?
Yeah.
Five, I think? I'm trying to recall in my memory now. Like, it would have been like... They come like on a, like every decade and a half to two decades... And we're not really in a part of the country that's going to get them like crazy. Like, there might be a couple spots, much like with the eclipse, in the, like, southern portions of, like, I don't know.
East Coast and southern states,
County,
yeah.
That might get a few. Like, but, like, up here, we're not really going to see it, which is just fine with me. All I imagine it's going to make Indiana just insufferable to be in this summer. Because I think they might get them a little bit more down there.
The latest geographical brood in the nation called Brood 19 and coming out every 13 years is about to march through Southeast, having already created countless boreholes in the red Georgia clay. I mean, I just, having these insects underground for that pretty much defies all laws of biology that I ever heard. I mean, apparently they don't need to eat, they don't need to breathe, they just sit there dormant for 13 to 17 years. It sounds like a horror film. Oh, yes. Every 13 to 17 years, these bloodsuckers emerge from the ground.
Yeah. I mean, that's about what it is. So the North American ones, like, you've got a number of broods, and I think the ones this year are a 17-year and a 13-year life cycle. Like, they burrow down and then come up for, like, you know, the summer, and then that's it.
Well, Raid... Here's your chance to really get a corner on the market.
Oh yeah, you've definitely got quite the marketing opportunity here, I suppose.
You just Nike can start selling cicada shoes, just big old clod hoppers. You see cicadas come on the ground, crunch, crunch. Stay down, you little.
Kill cicadas dead.
Yeah,
I like it. I'm on board with it.
Yeah, a little, you know, a little poison in the air doesn't hurt.
Yeah, a little DEET never hurt anybody.
Just bring in some crop dusters and just, you know, keep your mouth shut, kids.
Right. Duck and cover. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Hey, we haven't judged anybody in a few days. Want to do that, Adam?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Well, let's get us a little bit of Am I the A-Hole in here this afternoon, shall we? Haven't done this bit in about a week, probably.
I'm going to go ahead and say, yes, everybody here is an A-Hole, but let's find out if it's justified.
Well, let's find out. Let's dive into, well, the first one of these. My wife and I were at a bar last week, and I had a few drinks too many. I lost my best friend to lung cancer a year ago. We've known each other since elementary. The past year has been hell for me. I miss everything about him. My daughter still asks where her favorite uncle is. I literally have to fight back tears every time she asks that. She's only 3 years old. My wife and I and a couple of friends were hanging out at a bar last week. My best friend and I used to spend countless hours there, and him not being there kind of hit me again. I put on a fake smile and acted as if nothing bothered me, but on the way home, I started tearing up. As soon as I stepped through the door, I just started sobbing. My wife seemed confused at first, but when I told her about my friend, she had this horrified look on her face. She embraced me, and we went to bed a few minutes later. Since that day, she's been acting really strange around me. She would look at me weird, and it seemed like she was walking on eggshells around me. I kept asking her if something was up, but she'd always tell me everything was fine. Her friend came over yesterday. I was with my daughter in her playroom, but when I went to grab some snacks, I overheard something I wasn't supposed to hear.
Uh-oh.
My wife literally told her everything about my mental breakdown and called me immature and a crybaby for not being over my best friend's death. Her friend then adds something about how my wife isn't my therapist, and me crying in front of her shows how I don't have any control over my emotions. My wife just said an over-exaggerated exactly. My friend then asked her if she knew she'd be marrying a teenager going through puberty, and both started laughing hysterically. This is literally the first time in years I've cried in front of my wife.
Wow.
I just feel lost. I feel disrespected and belittled. I haven't confronted my wife, and frankly, I don't know how to bring this up. My gut says divorce is the next logical step, because how could I be with someone who belittles me for feeling vulnerable, but at the same time, I feel like staying and maybe talking it out for the sake of our daughter. I grew up with divorced parents, and my childhood was an absolute hell because of it. I talked to my mom about it today, and she said, as a man, I shouldn't cry in front of my wife, and she has every right to call me a crybaby for doing so. If her comments hurt me that much, I should just be a man and talk to her about it. I don't know why, but a part of me is just telling me to divorce her, that this is just a warning from God for what is to come later down the line. How should I bring this up to her? Should I bring it up to her? Am I the a-hole for thinking about divorce before hearing her out?
Yeah, you should definitely bring her out, bring it up to her. I like the fact that he's trying to keep things together for the daughter. But at the same time, you need to, first of all, folks, all you guys listening at home, there is nothing wrong with a man showing emotion. It's not like the guy's a crybaby or everything. Oh, my God, I can't believe the game's not on Bally Sports. It's on ESPN. I can't watch it. Or, you know, stuff.
I feel like that may have been you a time or two. And, you know.
No, I'm not that crying. I got angered. Ah, son of a goddamn.
Yeah, he handles emotions in the right way by just being super angry about things.
But yeah, I mean, I've got emotions, especially after a few drinks, being emotional about a friend who passed away or just right. My dad or something like that. But for her to, you know, just guys should be able to show emotion. I don't know why women think that they have. I think that's what it is. Women think that they have the upper hand. The corner of emotions, and that's just wrong. That's just not the way to go about it. If he had been the kind of person who does cry over everything, but it'd be like, oh, all right, yeah, maybe dial it down a notch. But first time you ever cried in front of her, and now she's belittling him. Tell you what, next time, kick in the door, just start throwing things around, be it just complete a-hole. When she starts crying, say, why are you acting like this? As well, which would you prefer?
I think that's fair. In this case, I obviously wholly disagree that men should show emotion literally ever. I mean, you do what we've done since, you know, the beginning of time. You keep everything inside and bottled up, and then eventually you just go crazy and, you know, shoot up a place or something. That's just
wow.
Or you just die, or just do what all of us sane people do and just drink your problems away.
Well, that's what
he did. And die of crippling alcoholism.
Yeah, that's what he did, but it just, you know, it let things out a little bit. But yeah, there's a big stigma of men showing any kind of emotion. And that's why, like, mental health, men are suffering from mental health and they're afraid to talk to anybody about it.
Because right.
You don't show your emotions. You got to be a man. Man up.
Right. And even that said, this being for a guy who doesn't necessarily show a great deal of emotion ever, it's just not, you know, my thing, I guess.
Right.
But, like, I can't imagine, you know, your significant other opening up to you in such a way and you go and immediately mock her to your friends for it. Like,
yeah.
I don't care if, like, Rachel had a, you know, breakdown or something because, like, the Mexican restaurant closed, like, 15 minutes before we got there or something. I don't care how stupid whatever the thing is. I'm also not going and telling my friends about that. Like,
no.
Have you in the, what, 7 years we've been doing a radio show and, you know, the longer that I've been with her, heard me come out here just bitching up a storm about her,
no.
About something that she, like, you don't, like, there are some things that you don't need to, like, tell all your friends about with your relationship.
No,
like,
when you're married to somebody, there is It's a bond. It's
supposed to be a united front.
Yeah. You're supposed to be with that person. It's supposed to be your ride or die. So for her to be belittling him and then letting the friend belittle him as well, and they just have like this this moment together where they just chuckle at his expense.
Right.
She is wrong. Do they deserve to be divorced? No, but there's some work to be done.
I mean, either you two are going to counseling or it's over. Like, I feel like those are your only two options there. Also, the mom's kind of a POS, too. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. She kind of brays right up with them. Oh, hey. Women, only women can cry. We've been using that for decades, for centuries, to get what we want.
Don't you take that away from us.
We have the corner on the market. Don't. That's our thing.
Like, I don't get the sense that this guy and his mom have a particularly great relationship either. It sounds like one of those, like, you know, don't ever show emotion. Don't ever act like you love somebody. Kind of like friendly and mine.
Yeah, right. Meanwhile, his dad is off in the corner watching the baseball game with, like, stoic, never has shown emotion in his life.
Yeah, I know that goes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that necessarily he doesn't have seemingly any good, particularly great support system from the people who should be there to support him the most.
Right.
That's kind of sad, honestly.
Yeah, so he is not the a-hole, but he's got some work to do.
Yeah, which apparently might just be drawing up divorce papers. Like, I know I say leave him a lot on this show, but in this case, I mean, if it depends. If she's willing to go get some sort of, you know, couples counseling, maybe you two can work this out and she can be less of a bitch.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't see this sort of, when your most basic, like, you know, in your time of need, you're the person that you're supposed to love and put above everybody else, feels it's better to mock you and then just avoid you and treat you like you're a leper.
Right.
I'm not sure that there's enough therapists in this world to make that relationship healthy.
No.
At least that's just kind of how I see it. Like, I don't think that there's a path forward.
I agree.
So, no, you're definitely not the a-hole, but my, you should.
Everybody else around you is, even the three-year-old. Who's your favorite uncle? The dead one?
Wow. Wow. Wow, Adam.
Is Daddy going to cry like a bitch again? What's the matter, Daddy? We got something in your eye? Why don't you nut up?
Poor guy, man. I tell
right?
It.
Yeah.
It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. It's the ground. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on a Wednesday afternoon and turn things over to an hour of local, original, God damn it, I've forgotten it again.
Line dancing. Michigan line dancing, where the people dance and I just kind of do a play-by-play. They're going back and forth, they're clapping their hands and not a smile among them.
I was going to say, you don't have the knees for line dancing, bud. Mm.
Oh, I'm not line dancing. Hell no.
And down goes Arahawk.
Yeah. I've been in too many buffet lines to be doing line dancing.
poor Adam. Not really, because he doesn't have to do line dancing.
That's right.
Do stick around. A full hour of local original music comes your way next on a little radio show that I hear they might call Solid State Sessions because it's Solid State Radio. Local is, it's kind of what we do, or whatever the slogans tell me I'm supposed to say here.
Yeah.
All being well, talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya.